Jesus' mighty name we pray. Our King and our Father, the Ancient of Days, the God of all flesh, the Father of all spirits, we call upon you tonight. We look to the hills from whence cometh our help. Break upon us suddenly. Let your goodwill be effected in our lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, we waited long for this time. So grant that every expectation will not be cut off. In the name of Jesus Christ. Give us the privilege of entering into a place where we can see you face to face. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You may be seated. God bless you. Welcome to the house of God. As we worshiped and praised the name of God, I fell into a trance. My eyes were open in the spirit, and I saw a wing. This wind has golden color. This wind was coming to your campus. It actually arrived some time ago. A wind of revival arrived this campus some time ago. But because several people that were supposed to be responsible for tending that move did not understand the gravity of what God wanted to bring here, God withdrew that move. While we worship. Meanwhile, the purpose of the wing, what it was supposed to establish, was a band of intercessors and prophets. But that move was not adequately articulated, and it was withdrawn. And God said He will use this meeting to begin to restore what that move was supposed to bring. There are 12 people in the congregation, and these 12 people will come under an intense flame. An intense flame of God will come upon them. It's the first consignment of spiritual deposits that God will begin to open the spirits of men into, in keeping with His agenda of restoring that which could not find expression before this time. Among these 12 people, I can see significantly a lady. She's fair in complexion. She's about 5 foot. 5 foot 4. She's very complex, and she's in the auditorium. And the spirit of prophecy is going to come upon that lady as we advance in the service. Hallelujah. Now, in order for me to be able to preach, stop playing for, and then join me 15 minutes later. Hallelujah. I want to teach for 15 minutes. Then we'll continue gliding in the spirit. Turn your Bible to the book of Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. A visitation is upon this campus. Amen. A visitation is upon this campus. Romans chapter 4. Just turn your Bible. As we attempt to set the coordinates for our adventure. My introductory scripture is verse 1, Romans 4. You see, hallelujah. There are two people in this hall that will receive a gift. That gift, it operates in my life a little. Two people will receive a gift, the gift of working of miracles. In order to function the economy of miracles, there's a lot of angelic activity and understanding that God normally affords a believer. The impartation has an installed educational system that will begin to enlighten you about several things that you cannot stumble upon in your lecture room. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, what shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found. It's a research proposal. And Paul is saying, what exactly did Abraham find? Hallelujah. This Abraham that we speak about is a prince in the spirit that earned three titles on the strength of his walk with God. Abraham was identified as the friend of God. Abraham was identified as the father of faith. He uncovered the possibilities that are bound to a believing personality that has casted his confidence upon the rock, Jehovah. Abraham was also, he gained the title of a father of many nations. And on the strength of the fact that he is the father of many nations, Christians, Jews, and Muslims trace him to be their ancestor. And so Paul is asking us the question. He said, what exactly did our father, pertaining to the flesh, what did Abraham find? Hallelujah. Now, many of us think that your pilgrimage in Lautech is just for the purpose of stumbling upon a certificate at the end of your endeavor. But there are several people that get to find things. It's the things that Abraham found that is responsible for the stature that he assumed in the spirit. Now, so we want to launch an investigation into the life of Abraham to find out what he found. What were the circumstances and the situations that surrounded his finding some things? It's on the strength of the things he found that his stature was uttered. Are you still with me? Second scripture before we begin our adventure. Second scripture will be John chapter 8. Turn your Bible as we just establish the premise for our engagement. I hope those of you at the back can hear my voice. Can you hear me? Now, my voice is not loud. The man on the console, some people at the back are crying out to your office. I don't know how you will help them out. John chapter 8, as we make progress. Two scriptures before we begin the adventure. John 8, verse 38. Are you there in John 8:38? Oh man. I say, are you there?
Yes.
Alright. Those people at the back, is the sound better now? Huh? If you can't hear at all, or maybe what I'm saying is not clear, can you just wave your hand so that the man on the console... Okay. Console man. Wave again. All of those people are having difficulty in hearing. John chapter 8, from verse 38, the Bible says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. This is Jesus speaking. And ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. According to Jesus, Abraham's children have an ingrained capacity, ingrained ability to do the works of Abraham. You see, you cannot operate in the dimensions that Abraham operated if you don't get to find the things he found. There were several foundations, delicate foundations that he discovered. And he decided to align himself with those foundations. She became a premise and a ground that God could step upon in setting up his engineering, the engineering of his purposes upon the face of the earth, were tied to covenants that he cut with Abraham. Now, this man has depth of understanding of how the layer of God's kingdom works. You are likely to be a normal human being, ordinary person, having a certificate at the end of your pilgrimage here, and then you go into the labor market and struggle like every other person. But if you get to find something, your life becomes exclusive. You are not in the pool of wanderers. Direction is given to you. And if you get to trust the immortal, you come to a point where he will cut covenant with you. Abraham found some things which we need to check his testimony in order for us to really understand the things he found. I took my time recently to do a study of the scriptures with a particular preference of understanding the prophetic office, the office of the prophet. I saw all the Old Testament prophets, major and minor prophets, and there was insufficient documentary about their personal lives that will give adequate perspective about the dealings that God brings to a man that he places as a functionary in the office of the prophet. Then upon studying, close study, I discovered that Abraham was that specimen. There's a lot of volume of his personal life that is unveiled in Scripture. And concerning Abraham, it was God himself that witnessed that he was a prophet. He was not the one that claimed to be a prophet. God himself bore witness to the fact that that man is a prophet. Now, that disclosure came at a critical point, which we are going to see. Because the point is this. If you don't find anything, God won't witness to about you like that. There are so many people that claim to be so many things in the body of Christ today, especially among young ministers like us. So many people claim to be a lot of things. But you see, they don't have that witness from God. God will not wake somebody up and say, this person, is my son. Leave him. When that kind of witness comes from heaven, it means that there are several things that God has with that person for him to bring that kind of witness about his life. So I want us to look at 12 things about Abraham that reveals the kind of dealing that God gives to a man he has called to occupy the office of a prophet. There are 12 things. And just in case these things are not in place, even if the person has an ordination to be a prophet, he will never actualize it. Just like every one of us here has an ordination from God. But in order for us to actualize the ordinations that we have from God, there are several dealings that God subjects us to. And he tries to check the way we react to his dealings. So I want us to take a journey. Our journey will begin from the book of Genesis chapter 11. When it is 15 minutes to 6, then you can begin to pray. Just softly. Alright? Then I'll tell you when to raise the volume of your keyboard until we strike a balance. Alright, let's start. Genesis chapter 11. We're looking into the life of Abraham, and then we are trying to find out what God does to a man that he sets in the office of a prophet. Is on the strength of his walk with God and the office that he was domiciled in that God was able to allow him to find some things in the spirit. Alright, so let's do Genesis quickly. Genesis chapter 11. Hallelujah. We'll begin from verse 27. I don't know how long, how far we can go given the time that we have, but at least let's start. Genesis 11, 27. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah, in the land of his nativity, in all of the Chaldees. And Abraham and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abraham his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his sons, Sarai, his daughter-in-law, son of Abraham's, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from all of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. Now, let's take 32 before I begin to explain. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Are you with me? In order for us to understand this, I need to read chapter 12, verse 1. Are you still with me? Just let's take the scriptures first. Then we'll begin to build gradually. Now the Lord had said to Abraham. The reason why I opened this scripture is the word had. You can underline had. Before this time, God had disclosed his will for Abraham. Okay? So God had said. Now, if we go to verse 11, you are going to see somewhat of a migration. A family was migrating. And if we check the migration list, you will notice a pattern. Verse 31, I'd like you to notice a pattern. Because several people ask a question. They ask, they say, why is it difficult for me to hear God? How many of you are asking that question now? Okay, we only have two people asking the question. Now, two of you see me at the end of the service. Alright? You will not ask that question again after the service. Two of you. Okay? Now, this is the immigration form of this family. The immigration form. They are, as they were migrating from their village, their destination was the land of Canaan. Now, meanwhile, the Bible says that God had said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country. Get thee from among thy kindred. Get thee out of thy father's house and go to a land that I will show you. God had said that to him. But check the migration pattern and the names of the people that were migrating and the pattern in which they migrated. Let's check it in verse 31 quickly before we begin our journey. And Terah took Abram, his son. Now, who is the leader of this migration party? Terah. But who is he that God had said unto, get out? It was Abraham that God said, what? Get out. But in the actual migration, you see, what happened was, it was as if Abraham told his father about the encounters he was having. Meanwhile, for your information, if you study historical perspective and good books that will give you context about the dealings that God had with Abraham and the reason for which God demanded that he should leave his kindred and his father's house was because he came from a family of priesthood. His family was assigned in the civilization of all the Chaldees to establishing priesthood for the territory. And just in case you are in doubt, history also captures that the first place, archaeologists have revealed that, the first place from whence civilization can be traced to is that city called all the Chaldees. So at that time, that was civilization. That was the light. Every other nation was darkness. So for you to say that you want to leave all, to go somewhere else to live your life, was a prescription that revealed insanity. Because Abraham's family was a prestigious family because of the fact that they were sold out to managing the priesthood of that civilization. And God felt that, okay, if I make Abraham what I want to make him, and he is a priest of an altar, the glory of God will be given to something else. So God insisted that in order for him to be glorified in the life of Abraham, he will have to move out of his context to the place that God has prepared for him to find full expression with respect to his destiny. But you see, when the movement took place, Abraham was not in charge of the moving party. Terah was the one in charge. His father monopolized the whole movement exercise because he felt his son was insane. In fact, Terah had to die an untimely death just because he felt he was supposed to control the migration. And you see, it happens to be that in the migration process, he ended the journey at Haran, not at the place that God had called Abraham to go. That was the reason why he died before his time. Meanwhile, I'd like us to see something here. It's a structural defect. It's a structural defect. Because the head of the moving party was Terah, not Abraham that God had called. I need to show you some scriptures in the New Testament, probably the book of Acts of the Apostles and the book of Ephesians.
so that we can define what we mean by structural defect. Because on the strength of that structural defect, it became difficult for God to reach Abraham. His hearing problems began because of a structural defect in the layout of things, in keeping with the implementation of the demands of God for his life. One scripture. Okay, we'll do Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 28. I'm going to use a few scriptures to attempt to explain this structural defect. What I mean by the structural defect is the one that occupied the position of headship in the migration was a different person other than the person that God had called and addressed. And because it was a different person that occupied the position of headship in the migration, the full scope of the demands were not obeyed. People like Lot were part of the procession. Strange people were part of the gang that were migrating. And the migration did not satisfy the specifics that God had demanded because we had a structural defect of headship. Now, many of you here are structurally defective. And so it is difficult for God to reach you. But I need to explain what I mean by that. It's not a difficult thing to hear God. It's not a difficult thing for a spirit being to bear witness with the spirit of a regenerated Christian. Hallelujah. It's not difficult at all. Perceiving the mind of God, articulating what is obtainable in the realm of the spirit, migrating into heaven and peeping into heaven, is not a difficult thing. If you are not in alignment, it will be difficult. You cannot achieve it by the strength of the flesh. And just in case you are structurally defected, it will be impossible for you to reach those layers of intelligence. And you might have a situation where the economy of the instructions of God will be reduced to a bare minimum just because you are structurally out of alignment, out of sync with God's last instruction. The last time you heard God clearly was the last time you obeyed him. But Satan wanted to put Abraham in a situation where it would be difficult for him to receive from God. He created a system, a structure around him. That structure promised him that they were with him in the migration. But the structure did not allow him to obey the instructions that God gave about the migration to the latter. Because Lot was in the picture. Several other strange people that were supposed to be dissociated from Abraham were part of the moving party because there was a strange headship situation that Abraham was subjected to. Now, in this kind of migration, Abraham was not the personality that calls the shots or decides where they will camp or decides where they are going. Meanwhile, at this time, Abraham, are you still with me? Oh my. I say, are you with me?
Yes, sir. Okay.
Stay with me. And I'll explain what a structural defect is. Because the first thing that God does sovereignly to someone that he has placed in a position that the person occupies in order for him to be a friend of God. See, when we talk about the friend of God, you must understand that the Bible speaking about prophets says that God will never do anything except he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. That's the status of the friend of God. When God comes to you, it's not as if what he wants to do will affect you, but because you happen to be his friend, he has this custom of always passing by to let you know the things he wants to do, especially if it has to do with your constituency. And that kind of involvement is associated with the office of the prophet. The Bible says that God will never do anything except he reveals it to his servants, the prophet. Now, that's too loud. That's too loud. Just reduce your volume. Reduce. Okay? Reduce your volume. Sorry, I'm like Elisha. I need a minstrel before I prophesy. Alright, so just bear with me. As I try to put the minstrel in proper position. God will help us in Jesus' name. Alright, come with me quickly. Let me show you what happens when you are operating under a headship that is not authorized. You become blind. Ephesians chapter 5. The first thing that God does to a prophetic personality is that it brings him from out of a structure, a headship structure that will obscure him from the light of God. That's the first thing he does. Ephesians, are you there? Chapter 5. Sorry, I have to use a different subject to explain the matter at hand. I need to borrow from another subject to explain what I'm trying to establish. All right. Can we read Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 22 to 23? Then we'll jump to verse 28 to 32. I'm still talking about the issue of headship. Headship. Terah was in charge. As long as Terah was in charge, the instruction that God gave Abraham could never be fulfilled. There are several terror entities over the lives of several of us that God will have to systematically remove us from that structure in order for us to have the liberty to fully dispense the implication of the instructions that God makes available to us. It's only in that day that will be structurally aligned to God sufficiently for our hearts to be flooded with light. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife." Can you underline that word, the head? Because it's on the strength of that word, head, or the meaning of that word is actually headship. Not this, your physical head, but headship. I'm going to take some time to build on headship so that you will see how the devil attempted to hijack the migration by putting an illegal headship over the party. And as long as that structure remained, the purpose of God was not in view. So the Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now jump to verse 28 quickly. It says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." The example of headship and the manifestation of headship and the power of headship that should find expression in a particular marriage arrangement is illustrated by an immortal reality, by a mystical reality. It's illustrated by the kind of headship that Jesus exercises over his church. I'm going to explain that. I need to tell you how important the principle of headship is to somebody that can only survive to fulfill his destiny on the basis of the vitality of his perception. Well, am I speaking too much English? Now listen. Stay with me. You are not with me. See, Abraham's survival on the trip that he was called to sojourn was tied to his ability to hear God. He said, you will go to a land that I will show you. I am not in the business of disclosing the land. Your capacity to incline your ear to me will determine whether or not you arrive at my destination. Are you with me? Oh my. I said, are you with me? We have a long journey to go. Okay? And I'm saying that if the devil wants to bring you your journey, your life, you know, you saw yourself on a crusade ground, so many people were there, and your reality today is far removed from that which you saw. And it's not as if God doesn't have a job to do. That's why he came to cast those pictures upon your soul. But the way this journey is a journey of transition. And it depends upon the management of your spiritual senses. In the days when God said, you will go to a land that I will show you, Abraham had to take every dream seriously. But you have a dream, you don't press to know the meaning. Because you have not yet understood that your life depends on perceptions that come from the Spirit. That's what I'm saying. Do you get that? And for a man whose life depends on perceptions, depends on disclosures that will come from the Spirit of God, such a man must ensure that he is operating under the right structure. Did you get it? So, that's where I am. Stay with me. Stay with me. Just stay. Okay? For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. All of these things I read is about structure and headship. Everything I just read. Let me explain that. You know, in verse 32, Paul now added and said, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning what? Christ and the church. You need to be spiritually intelligent to understand what Paul was trying to communicate. First of all, are you with me? Paul was trying to unveil the structure. Okay, you see, marriage in the natural. Are you with me? Marriage in the natural, if it is practiced according to the 14 prescriptions of the scriptures we just read, it's supposed to illustrate a deeper thing than just man and woman. It's that coming together of a man and woman to be husband and wife is a natural platform, it's a theater that is created to illustrate a deeper sense of union. And that deeper sense of union is the mystery of how that Christ and his church are one. And the explanation of that mystery is that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Don't forget spirit. One what? Spirit with him. Are you with me? And what we do on the wedding day is that we take vows in order for us to enter into a covenant. That's it. Why do we need to come into the covenant? Because you see, those two born again people that are coming to get married are uniquely one in the spirit. They are members of his body. But that is in the mystical context. Even though we are uniquely one in the spirit, we can fight in the natural. But you see, if we are fighting in the natural, it is not an illustration of the harmony that exists between us in the spirit. That our fighting is not part of the possibilities that will find expression from that mystery that we were called to illustrate. Are you with me? Okay, maybe I need to introduce another scripture. The Bible says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is, two things to behold. In fact, they are inviting every one of us to come and behold something. How good, and behold, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the dwelling together when they dwell. There is supposed to be something to behold in their dwelling that is good, that is pleasant. It makes the entire setup desirable, because in their dwelling we're able to behold goodness. You see, something that you can behold is not something that you can hide. It is on display for everybody to see. Meanwhile, these two people that just got married, that are dwelling together in harmony, are from different backgrounds, probably from different parts of the country, different orientations, different upbringing, different philosophy, different cultures, different, and then you now bring them together to dwell. Intellectually, there are many more reasons for that kind of setup to fail than for harmony to be the end result, intellectually. Just my elder brother married from the next compound, our fence. We are sharing fence, all right? He married from the next compound. That's how it can be more within reach than that. But there's crisis every time. You send a text message to the WhatsApp family WhatsApp platform. Now my marriage has ended. And he does that every year. That's how we know it's Happy New Year. But you see, there's nothing to behold because there's a problem with the dwelling. Because what we are called to behold is how brethren dwell in unity. And then he now said, just in case you are getting yourself worked up, it is not intellectual. It is traced to the immortal realm. It is like the oil. There is something beyond that which eyes can see that is responsible for the harmony. That's what... Are you still with me? You see, the reason why the oil can flow is because there is structural alignment. You are not with me. Many of you have been cut off from the flow long time. You are just going through the motions in church. And that's why in every generation, the real people that stand for God, that speak for God, that carry his mind, are very few. Not because the pool of reality is not available for every Christian, but if the devil wants to bind you, you know, we like binding the devil, and we forget that Satan can bind a man. If the devil wants to bind you, one of the things he does is that he compromises the structure under which you operate. Stay with me. Are you still with me? Alright. So, see. For those of you that have vehicles, you open the engine of your vehicle, you find some part of it, you find some plastic stuff, you find rubber, find iron, find aluminium, you find so many things, so many different things. But when you switch on the engine, there is a smooth sound that these different things are harmonizing And the reason why there is harmony is not because of the different things. If you try the natural to understand the harmony, you are going to have a problem, because you never see the secret from what your observation will reveal. The reason why there's harmony is because there are four different kinds of oils that are running in that engine. There are engine oil, brake oil, gear oil, and automatic transmission fluid for your steering. If you ever ride a car without transmission fluid, your small starlet, the feel will be like a truck. And that's an evidence of lack of harmony. It means there's a lack of what? Oil. And you see, In the arrangement of the book of Psalms 113, he said, this harmony that produces what is good and what is pleasant. We'll come into that later if God permits. Good. What is it that is good in the dwelling that God is saying we should behold? Because those two parameters are the acid tests by which you score every corporate civilization that has the name of Jesus upon it. Marriage, church, anything that has to do with more than one born-again believer, that has to do with two or more believers, and they are supposed to work together to fulfill a corporate goal. Are you here? If that goal is succeeding, it means there is harmony. And the reason why it's succeeding is not because the people are smart. It is because they have access to the immortal supply of oil. Their system receives oil, and it galvanizes it and subdues all the possible differences that would have constituted a challenge. And then, in the midst of a situation where there are supposed to be so many contradictions, you find the harmony that is pleasant to behold. It is because of the oil. Now, you see, the oil that he spoke about flows in a particular circuitry. Because he said the oil is not sprinkled. The oil is not sprinkled. It flows from the head of Aaron, flows to the bed of Aaron, and now flows to what? The skirts of his garment. See, there is a channel of flow. That's the gradient that allows the flow to continue coming. So if the devil wants to distort that flow, what does he do? It distorts that gradient. That's what I mean by structural disalignment. You get that? You see, in the book of Acts of the Apostles, that began on a note of revival, on a note of apostolic invasion, then it came to a point where some widows began to murmur. See, the murmuring was an evidence of the fact that there was a dimension of oil that was no longer accessible by the community. Because at that point, what will be beheld will not be good, will not be pleasant. That's what I'm talking about. So, the apostles, by the operation of the gift of word of wisdom, now discovered what they needed to do in the structure in order to accommodate an office that did not exist before. An office that seemingly was not perceived necessary. That office had to be added to the structure in order to quell that anomaly and to restore harmony. Many of you are outside of harmony with God, but you are not aware. As we go in the teaching, see, the oil flows from where? From the head. It flows where? To the head. Then it flows where? To the skirt of the garment. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? How was she healed? It means there was oil there. The thing flowed and got there. So it's not every time people can meet the pastor, the senior pastor. They should be able to meet an usher. And by the hem of the garment, the what is on the pastor should be able to flow out and execute the kind of intent that God has. Are you with me? But you see, In the body of Christ, in Nigeria right now, we have a structural alignment. There are some people that are so anointed, but the anointing is not available outside of the head. So we see like 9 million people gathering at the end of the month. Amen! But the oil doesn't get there. And the guy can attend those meetings for 30 years until he's old. And he still doesn't have access to oil because it's structurally disaligned. And there's nothing God can do about it. Except God will have to kill people. Are you? You are not with me. Alright. You see, the Bible says that the oil flows from where? The head. That's the same head that I showed you in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. The meaning of that head is headship. So you can write it down. You are not with me. If you come from a community where witchcraft is prevalent, the witches took advantage of the potential of headship. And just in case, this is the first time I'm coming to your city, just in case there's witchcraft here, it means that the witches are intelligent enough to know the power of headship. I think I need to explain a little more. No, if you raise the sound too much, hallelujah. Headship. There was a headship problem. The person that was in charge of the movement was not the person God called. There's a headship challenge. And it was organized like that to frustrate what God wanted to achieve from the movement. Okay. Maybe that's too complex. Let's leave that one. It seems too complex. Are you still with me? Don't forget. In case the marriage works, it is because they have access to an immortal facility. Are you there? Because the marriage is supposed to be an illustration of a deeper reality. That deeper reality can only exist in the spirit realm. It cannot be illustrated the way it is in that realm. But God has built an infrastructure through which that deeper reality can be illustrated. And so what God does, are you here? Oh my. What God does is that He fills this theater, which is man and wife, fills it up with the essence of that reality so that this theater can manifest the kind of harmony that is in that reality. So this becomes an illustration of that which the reality is. That is the theological idea. Are you with me? Now, in order to establish the structure within the marriage that gives it the capacity, the eligibility to tap into that immortal support system that is supposed to drive it. Are you with me? See, I'm not trying to speak English. I'm choosing my words carefully so that the picture is painted in your hand. You get that? In order for this our own earthly infrastructure to be suitable to draw support from the immortal reality, there are 14 things that must be built into this structure in order for it to be aligned with that structure. And then it can draw the oil from that reality. Are you with me? The first thing that Scriptures made mention of in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 that is a requirement is headship. A carnal person here will think that headship is equivalent to male until you work in the office where the boss is a woman. It seems you are not following me. headship has nothing to do with male. However, in that structure, God's design that must be sustained in order for that structure to have the capacity to draw from an immortal support system. The headship is given to the man. Now, this headship is not an advantage over the woman. This headship is a responsibility. A responsibility that must be managed by wisdom. Because anything you do with this headship will determine whether you are still aligned as a home to Christ and to his systems. This headship places upon you the responsibility of priesthood to know what the will of Christ is for that unit. And as long as you are walking in the will of Christ for that unit, the oil will be flowing. So the evidence that you are still in alignment is that it must be good and it must be pleasant. At any point in time where there is a depletion of good, a depletion of what? Pleasant. Then you need to go back to the head of the church and find out where the structural disalignment is coming from. Because without him, we can do nothing. Hallelujah. Do you get that? Alright. You see, all of us come from families. And the family that you come from has the eldest man. Probably is 80-something, 90-something. And that man occupies the position of headship over the clan. And because he occupies the position of headship over the clan, if he goes to an altar of marine spirits, and say, I want money. And the spirit says, you want money? Yeah, we want, I need money. It's okay. Can you agree that all the males in your family, the first conception that their wives will ever have will be a miscarriage? Agree. So, is that all? Take two. Take first conception, take second conception. Now, as unrelated as that transaction is to you, unfortunately, it was carried out by headship. It's obvious you don't like my gospel. That's why some of you here are bound by too many things. Not because you... Things that you don't even know about. And let me give you a little idea. That transaction is valid. Now, if you give your life to Christ, it doesn't invalidate that transaction. You don't like my talk. Let's go to number two. It doesn't invalidate that transaction. Many of you are born again here, but the patterns of your life is not too different from the patterns of unbelievers in your family. It's not so different. Whenever exam time is coming, then you begin to observe memory losses. The same spirit of reproach and failure that followed other people is beginning, the symptoms are beginning to see it because that transaction is still valid in the spirit. To give your life to Christ and think that you did away with that transaction by a mere decision on the field of evangelism is the greatest folly that a man can subject himself. Sometimes the devil refuses to press charges until he allows you to become prominent. If you never dealt with that thing, he will allow you to be prominent first. Before he begins to press charges. Because he will gain more if a prominent person is made an invalid. Oh, you don't like spiritual talk. You like, next Friday you'll be blessed.
That's the one you like. Preachers have lied to you for too long. And Jesus is about to come back. And the church in Nigeria is still bound. It's not just men that are bound. The church is bound. Witchcraft has held us. Strange powers have held churches in cities. Many of us are disaligned but still doing ministry with bondage. Terror is the one that is in charge of your movement, but you claim to have an ordination, a destiny from God. Are you still with me? Now, so when you give your life to Christ, this legal structure is going to fight the decision that you have made. But see, God did not leave us as orphans. The life that you entered upon on the account of your faith, you are going to sustain it by your obedience. Now, these days in church, we don't teach obedience to God. That is the only way the Holy Spirit can have authority over your life. I have opportunities to sin, to fornicate, to commit immorality, and you will not know. But the reason why I will not do it is not because of you. It's because if I begin to do that, the authority of the Holy Spirit will drop in my life. And then another being, another creature will not have authority over my soul. That's the first law that governs the realm of the spirit. He said, whoever you yield yourself as a servant to obey, the servant of such a personality you will become. That transaction that your grandfather or anybody in the family made will be supported by demonic agents. And these demonic agents will try to make you break the laws of God. That's what the agents, by suggestions, by perceptions, by dreams, by threats, by all kinds of stuff, just for you to break the laws of God and obey something that is not God in order to activate it in your own life. What you started with your faith, you are going to maintain with what? Your obedience. There is a level of obedience that you strike that the jealousy of God will arise and God will utter a verdict about that matter. It is on the strength of God's utterance that that legality is disbanded. Your salvation gives you a possibility for escape. It's a potential for escape. It's not escape. It's escape legally. In order for you to achieve escape in your experience, then the difference between the two is obedience to God. You make a choice to be obedient to God. Everybody that causes prospered over their lives were people that those demons from that altar were able to deceive to break the laws of God in several areas of their life, thereby enthroning the authority of that spirit being, even though they are born again. And I've seen so many pastors that have demonized. Not because they are not genuine, but those demons were able to push them to make some errors that consolidated the impact of that transaction and then marginalized their destiny for a season. I know you won't say amen to that. I came to teach you spiritual truth, not to excite you. Because the church in Nigeria is bound. And we were bound 35 years ago. What we are seeing today, our liberty is taken away from us, debt everywhere, blood is spilled without any recourse to righteousness, are indications of the fact that the church is bound. It will take a generation to undo this evil that has befallen us. And that generation must understand the God of heaven. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. I don't have time to build deeper on that matter. You're already very emotional now. So, and finding it difficult to continue. You see, on a wedding day, the bride, you see, we are one spirit with the Lord. Eh? Is that true? Whosoever is joined to the Lord is what?
One spirit.
For this cause, the Bible says, a man shall leave his father and his mother. See, it's a woman that changes her name and leaves her family and joins the man. But the Bible says, the man shall what? Leave. What's the meaning of that? Huh? What's the meaning of that? You leave your father and your mother. You people are... The answers you are saying, you don't want me to hear. You say, now what he is leaving is leaving the government of his father and his mother. So the father and mother can no longer govern him. Before this time, they governed him. God places us under the influence of governors and tutors until the time appointed of the father. Now, so they were governing him. But now he has left their government and he's joined to his wife to form a new government. But you see, in Abraham's case, Abraham was married but yet still under the government of Terah. That was a structural defect. And as long as that structure existed, he could not willingly prosecute what God wanted for him to do. He was stuck in a structure that was an illegal structure. So what the devil intends to do is that he tends to bring you under the influence of a kind of headship. So that by structure, he has already measured you in the balances and he has already contained you. Structure. The man leaves his father and his mother and becomes what? Joined to his wife, and then he said the two shall become one flesh. Notice that the Bible says that his joined to the Lord is one. Oh man, you are not following. Let's leave that. You are not. There's a structure there. There's a structure. The two shall become one in the flesh. But the man exercises headship. He's the one that will pick the direction for the clan. And his new head is the Christ. According to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Follow me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Are you there? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 is actually my emphasis. Say, but I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is what? And the head of Christ is what? Now, that scripture is a revelation of the chain of command. This is the scripture that let me not transgress. There's another interpretation of this scripture. But the meaning of this scripture is a revelation of a chain of command. That just like Jesus could not do anything of himself, because the Father exercised headship over him. He has to check with the Father and see the Father's perspective, and he assumes the Father's perspective upon the face of the earth. Are you with me? So, if you check the Bible in the book of John, you are going to see that the Father was Jesus' life. He never did anything apart from the Father. In fact, of himself, he did nothing. And that was why Jesus could boldly say that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because I have given him expression, because I submit to his headship. That's how we are supposed to give Christ expression, because we submit to.
You get it? So it's a chain of command. And then my wife is going to express everything that I've received from Christ. My calling, she's going to be a partaker of my calling. And even though she's not called herself, because she's married to me and she has decided to submit to my headship, she's going to inherit a measure of the grace I carry. Because inheritance is only possible if there is headship and alignment. And inheritance is one of the possibilities that we have in the spirit. That was what Jesus was talking about when he said, I've called thee to reap where you have not sown. I've called thee to straw where you have not bestowed labor. He was talking about inheritance. It is possible for a woman to be married to a very anointed man and never inherit the oil. Because she doesn't subscribe to the philosophy of his headship. It is possible for somebody to be called. I hope you know. Oh my, you are not with me. Not everybody is a pioneer. Not everybody is called to do the kind of stuff you are called to do. There are special dealings that God gives. Even the, where you are, if there are five in your family, God will determine a pioneer. He will determine the position where it comes from, whether fourth or fifth. Your wiring is different from the average believer. Because you have a call that requires that you will begin a civilization that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. In that civilization, there are other people's destiny tied to it. Are you with me? Now, if somebody now that doesn't have a pioneering call sees that Tolu has pioneered a ministry, and probably it was your president when you were in the university fellowship, and he feels he's more anointed, and then now pioneers a work. You see, he doesn't have the blessing of the head of the church, Christ. So he's not covered. He's uncovered. This uncovered man, this altar that is in his village, will begin to affect this uncovered man, because he is under a situation of structural disalignment. Are you still with me? That's why preachers die. That's why pastors die. He claims to be, every time he goes for his crusade and he knocks the kingdom of darkness, he's going to have backlash because nobody sent him. Are you with me? So if somebody now perceives that, my destiny is with this man, and he comes and he aligns with you, whether or not the person will inherit what you have is dependent on his depth of willingness in his heart to submit. Submission is not cultural. I know in Yoruba culture, people greet and kneel down. When I wanted to marry my wife from Yoruba land, we are from the royal line in my own place. We don't bow down to people. Huh? But they say, Dobale. All of you, go down. Hallelujah. You need to see the bigger individuals that came from my quarter. They see the way it was here. Eh? And the place they gave us to go down. We had to go down. And then one of them now rose up. When he rose up, he called me at the back and said, Why is he saying that? They say what? Dobale. That's the culture. Right? So the average Yoruba person knows how to Dobale, how to greet. The fact that somebody knows how to Dobale doesn't mean the person has Dobale from the heart. You know, men look on the outward, but God looks. Is that person's willingness to submit that now creates the gradient for the flow of what the man that occupies headship carries? Now, if Abraham was to inherit something, what would he have inherited from Terah in that context when the person placing demand on him to move is God? And then Terah now occupies place of headship. So there was a structural problem.
The first thing God does to anyone that has a prophetic destiny is that He liberates you structurally. Several of you will never receive visitations. And I'm not, it's not the cause. You, where you are, there is darkness there. Have you heard that scripture that says, remember? Have you heard that scripture that says, remember thou from whence thou art fallen? There was a place you were. God could access you in that place. But several things happened that changed your location. Like Adam, God came into the Garden of Eden. But you see, what was the question? Where are thou? What's the meaning of that? Is it that the omnipotent God did not know his location? So why is the great monarch coming with a question? And what exactly is the meaning of that question? Adam, where are thou? I need to take you to the book of Psalms to show you the meaning of that question. The answer to that question is in the book of Psalms 82, which I won't want us to go into. It will take too much time. What happened in Psalms 82 is that people that were in charge of God's business in different localities, different locations, were summoned. You know, the Bible says God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. That's Psalms 82 verse 1. He judgeth among the gods. Why do you judge unjustly and consider the persons of the wicked? Selah. It's the gods that he summoned. Small g. And according to Jesus, the Bible says, if he called them gods unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. The gods he spoke about there is not Chongo, it's not Amadioha. It's men that God has put in charge of some of his business. If you notice, God told Moses, I've made you a god unto them. It's actually a status in the spirit, where you are given authority from God to do some things that only God can do in keeping with his agenda. The only reason why you have that kind of privilege is because God has a purpose that he has called you to be a partaker of. Right? So these gods that God gave the authority, God gave the capacity to do the kind of stuff that only him does in order to manage his business in the earth, decided to use that power for another purpose. They were judging unjustly. They were considering persons of the wicked. They did not care about the fatherless. They did not care about the widow. Meanwhile, the resources they were using were resources that God invested in them for his business. His business was kept unattended, and they formed an alliance with the devil to afflict the same people that God released them to heaven. So God now decided to summon the gods. Are you with me? And in that day, the scripture revealed that God was standing. This is a God that doesn't need to stand to rule, because he rules by decrees. And that day, God is now standing. And there are only two times in the Bible that the Bible revealed that God stood. And one is Psalms 82. Next one is Acts 7, where Jesus, or Stephen, they were stoning him to death. He looked into heaven and saw the Son of Man stand. See, it's only the gods that can make the Son of Man stand. See, that's why the Bible says God standeth in the congregation of the gods. Are you with me? Only those kind of authoritative personalities can make God stand. Now, in the judgment that God dispensed, we now saw their true capacity. The guys they called gods. Are you with me? Saw their true capacity. The judgment is in verse 6, I guess. I have said, ye are gods. That is by design, by ordination, by craft. Ye were designed and ordained to be gods. First judgment, but ye shall die like men. Second judgment, ye and fall like what? One of the princes. That means you were ordained to be princes. But you will fall from your elevated position in the spirit. Where Adam fell from was his spiritual office. His office was now vacant. That's his spiritual office. Are you with me? See. Oh my, you're not with me. You see, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men. Number two, ye are princes. You will fall like princes. So there were gods and there were princes. Their God status is in the manifestation of the authority of God in the natural realm. Their prince status talks about the thrones that they were sitting in the heavenlies with the joint, as joint heirs with Christ. So Adam was no longer on that throne. And that's why God came into the natural realm to ask him, where are you? Because you have from that height. Now that you are a creature that is measured into time, you have authority. So you wielded dominion over. Will become an object of terror to you because you no longer have the dominion mandate. Do you understand that? What the devil wants to do is to make you fall from that place in the spirit so that you are measured into time. As long as Abraham was in that setup, he had no authority. The authority was with Terah. And Terah did not understand the dynamics of the calling that God has involved him in. Ah, I weep. I weep. I weep. The reason why I weep is because I see a sister. This sister that I see, 12 years ago, the hand of God was mighty on you. But unfortunately, you are a victim of headship. Found yourself in a place where your light was blotted out. Hallelujah. If you ask God for mercy, sincerely from your heart, today, He will help you. That's the first point. God will have to deliver someone that He has business with from a structurally defaulted situation and bring him into alignment with His spirit so that he can begin to fulfill the transition of his destiny. So God, what God did was that God had to kill Terah in Haran. And after that, unfortunately for Abraham, instead of Abraham to go back to his script to find out what was the original instruction, he still carried Lot. Please help me tell your neighbor that the last time you heard God clearly was the last time you obeyed Him. I would have taken us deeper into the subject of headship to see how the devil has maligned the destinies of so many people because of this principle. And it's a principle that is inevitable. This is how God operates. If He's going to operate, there must be a structure that He Himself has blessed. And through that structure, the gradient is created and the oil can flow from the head to the bed and to the skirts of the garments. Number two. Genesis chapter 12. I think I will stop in number 2. Before I stop in number 2, I think I need to give a little testimony of an experience I had. While we were on campus, okay, you can increase your volume now. Yes. You can increase now. So that we can block out the sound of the noise louder. Good. Now listen. While we're on campus, a revival began to break out. There was a brother that God gave an instruction that he should set up a prayer cluster. And what he did was the wrong thing. He went to every fellowship and beckoned upon the prayer secretaries of each fellowship to come together. That God has instructed him to begin a cluster. And he felt people that were prayer fellowship secretaries in the fellowships would be most ideal to be part of that, which was, he received the vision in the spirit, but his execution was in the flesh. So there was a structural defect. He did not receive instructions. He did not wait to receive detailed instructions as to how the formation will be. He now used his brain at some point to conscript people into the machinery. Are you still with me? Then I was a prayer secretary myself. So we were all summoned. And then when we were summoned, we began to talk about the burden he had, the things that God showed him, and the need for a prayer cluster to be established. Well, at the end of the meeting, I was the only prayer secretary that was left with him. Because the other guys felt there were other duties that had to be done that were primary, and that this was going to be a distraction. So I was the only one left. So we now started the prayer cluster. Then, after about 6 months of faithfulness, fire of the Lord came down. God anointed one sister in our midst. And that sister, he released into her the gift of prophecy. And she prophesied accurately. She did not have the gift of prophecy before we started the cluster. See, that was part of the obedience. As we obeyed, God began to install the infrastructure that can carry the kind of glory that he wanted to bring. Are you still with me? See, when all the prayer secretaries were there, because the prayer secretaries started for a while to see if probably that would be a platform for them to have prominence. And when there was no prominence in view, the assignment did not look lucrative. And so many people began to withdraw. Right? You see, the flesh. God can't use the flesh, no matter how polished, how presented. It's not in God's way for the flesh to be exalted. Because the very way our salvation was procured ensured that no man, no flesh would be able to boast. That's why the whole responsibility was placed on Jesus. And I want you to know that God is very sensitive to flesh. Alright? Because of that, he put all the responsibility on Jesus so that no man can boast that he had a hand in this gift that we have received. So God did all of that just to ensure that no flesh boasts. He's allergic to flesh. He will fight flesh. He can even withdraw just because there's flesh. But there were many things we did not know. We just wanted to obey. You get? And when we began the prayers, the power of God came one of those days, hit this lady. We didn't know that it was a gift of prophecy he installed. Then she began to manifest that thing. That lady prophesied 12 years into my future. Now I've lived the thing. You understand? I've lived it now, so I knew it was 12 years she saw in that prophecy. When last did you see a prophecy that somebody gave that spanned for 5 years? Huh? Is there any prophecy in the body of Christ that we are watching over that was given in recent times that has the binocular perspective of 5 years ahead? You don't know that one of the most common things that you find when the spirit of revival descends upon the people is that he anoints vessels of prophecy. It's through that structure. That structure is one of the necessary alignments that must be achieved in order for God to have a directional vocal call in the midst of the camp. Notice that God told Abraham, you will go to the land that what? I will show. Not the land you want to go. Not the husband you want to marry. There is a jigsaw puzzle I'm trying to work out. But I will never show you the end of it. Because the principle is obedience. If your heart is not set to obey me, you will miss it. You will become structurally disaligned. You will take a decision that is by voter without my help. And you will get stuck. You can align yourself with someone that God has not anointed. And then the light you carry will become dark. We began to pray. Her name was Umi. She was a gift of God. We'll pray. The cloud built. Then she begins to prophesy. You know some of the things that eventually happen to the group, they prophesied it. How the group will scatter. And the day she was prophesying that, it's a book that has the consistency of the utterance. Take heed. It was trivialized. Like Abraham trivialized his call and accepted to still be structure that was led by terror because he did not understand the gravity of the call. The question tonight is, where are you? Just like God asked Adam, where are thou? I can start something with you, but where are you now? I started something great with you. There was a future in view, but you are nowhere to be found. Where are thou? Where are you? A time came, you know, from the moment I gave my life to Christ, the most predominant grace it was there, that time. My ability to teach the scripture. Right? So one day, I was given the opportunity to lead prayer in that our group. Began to lead prayer. Bring scripture, lead prayer, bring scripture until 5 a.m. Next day we came for prayer again. Prayer supposed to 1 hour. Holy Ghost took over. Scriptures, prayer, 5 a.m. Third day we came for prayer again, supposed to be 1 hour. Scriptures, prayer. We forgot who we began to prophesy. What of those strategic prophecies? Before we knew it, the prayer was designed for 1 hour. That means God was changing the capacity of our vessel. He had given us a capacity that we can no longer feel in the flesh. He will make it impossible for the flesh to be able to go have this way. By giving you a capacity that the flesh cannot be. You remember on the day of Pentecost? Even though the first initial disciples that were commissioned to stay in the upper room were 500, only 120 were left on the day of encounter. Do you still remember the temple of Solomon? When he began to minister? How many priests were there? The priests that could no longer minister because of the glory of God that came. Go and check your Bible. There were 120. What does 120 mean? Oh. Okay. I'll stop there. There is a place that the flesh can go. You know, it's not every time you speak in tongues that you started inspired. You can actually use your will to help your spirit man. Because God says, I will pray in the spirit. So you can use your will. That's the only gift we have that you can use at will. The ability to speak in tongues. You can use your will to start. And it's a thing of will until the Spirit of God now takes over. So there is a cut-off point. There is a cut-off point that the flesh can go in this adventure. When it reaches that cut-off point, the flesh can go beyond that cut-off point. It must be the Spirit that will take over from that point. 120 talks about the cut-off point of the flesh. Many of us are dwelling within the space of allowable space of the flesh. We have not entered into the transition, the journey, the real journey that God has called us to make. We have not entered. Where are thou? Our capacity was being enlarged. It was in the day when God was increasing our capacity that several people now went to the leader of the group and said, have you realized that it's only this man that is leading prayer? See, he's monopolizing prayer. And that's why people that want to go for counseling, is him they go to, not you. Let me tell you something. In the body of Christ, there is specialization. In every group, as you begin to do the will of God, you begin to notice the hand of God in a certain way on people. The reason why God, like Umina, she was one of the functionaries. She didn't know she had those powers until she came into a system that God has orchestrated. And then suddenly, she now discovered herself in a new light. Are you with me? Have you read your scripture when the Bible talks about the manifestation of the sons of God? It has nothing to do with you coming. It has nothing to do with your salvation, you giving your life to Christ. It has everything to do with you being part of God's will for a generation. And then suddenly you see yourself in a light that you never existed before. So you manifest on a plane different from how you knew yourself before. Because God is willing to build infrastructure to handle the policies he wants to establish in the earth. So he needs to make mighty men. Those mighty people that are rising are in keeping with the need of an immortal structure that is beginning to build in the territory. You will do well to discern those men. Even in witchcraft, not every witch has the ability to see. Witchcraft seers have a different ordination. I don't have time to do it. Those are the ones that, if they are a member of the prayer team in the church, because that's where they enter this witchcraft here, they must make it to the prayer team. It's their presence in the prayer team that will destroy the ministry, just in case they are not discerned on time. Those are the ones that will prophesy about a danger and recommend a fast, but the danger will still happen because those dangers were already articulated in the COVID. So they now move the. And the more you obey witchcraft instructions, the more important the church will become in engaging the enemy. I don't have time. There is so much to say. Hallelujah. Now, so a structure began to build. But because of lack of discernment of the functionaries God was raising, that side comment made our leader to change the structure. In the change of the structure was the death of that movement. Are you still with me? Do you still remember Acts of the Apostles chapter 13? Prophets from Antioch migrated. Prophets from Jerusalem migrated from Jerusalem. Agabus was running a prayer cell in Jerusalem. Their operations were hidden. Nobody knew they existed. They were not one of the pillars. And by instruction, God revealed to them that he was changing his headquarters from Jerusalem to Antioch. Meanwhile, what was happening in the physical environment was that the church was being persecuted. So people were running. But Agabus and his prayer team did not migrate because there was persecution. They migrated because there was an utterance from God. Just like Abraham received an utterance for migration. Agabus received an utterance for what? They came to Antioch and met teachers and intercessors. And then they joined forces. The corporate ranking of the fellowship moved up until that was an adopted apostolic center where people could be released into their destiny. What God wanted to do with Jerusalem, he could not succeed. The arrowhead of the Jerusalem church was Peter. The height of Peter's ministry was when he was on the top of that building that the sheet came from heaven. Because God was trying to reveal to him that in heaven now we have decided to open the gate of the kingdom to the Gentiles. The guy knew it was the Lord, but he said, "Not so, Lord." His ministry ended. And God knew he would not go too far with this set of people. But he would look for how to manage them. The second actor had to rise. He was an unbeliever. Who told you that God will, it must be from among us that God will choose? Listen to me, in our lifetime you will see this. Some of the mightiest people that God will use are in the mosque now. They are in the mosque now. Because God will bypass a lot of us. Many there be among us that God has given opportunities for structures to be formed in territories. You exalted the flesh and the glory of God was withdrawn. That's not an experience you are likely to have so many times. An unbeliever that was seamless for the ignorant way he thought was the right way. God saw his heart. If I taught this one, he will move my kingdom. Jesus was the one that came personally to evangelize with life. We have not seen conversion yet. When the glory of God descends, it will descend into a mosque.
Yes.
What is about to happen? The glory will not descend on a crusade ground or in a prayer meeting. Right in the mosque. The lives of so many people will be altered by the manifestation of the sovereignty of God. Because this is the time for the second actor. The first generation of actors, thank God for them, they are fathers in the faith, they did all they could. But you see, the second part of Acts of the Apostles is about to be written, and God must find another voice that will speak for his kingdom. Tonight, one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit will be hovering is because the new set of actors must be commissioned. The new set of actors might be running errands for the devil. But right now, God is coming down. He's coming down. He's coming down. Is coming down so that the new set of actors can be commissioned. This is the time for God to bring to pass that which he has spoken for a long time. The new set of actors will drive the agenda of the kingdom to the tarmac. Something is about to break forth upon the earth. Oh, lelele, mamamale. Oh, lemale. Oh, lemamana pala. Oh, lapuna. Oh, lapuna. Oh, lapuna. Silence.
We celebrate you, O God. In Jesus' mighty name. In the mighty name of Jesus. I didn't hear your amen. I said in the mighty name of Jesus. First of all, I want to give an opportunity to people that need to repent. People that God bestowed grace upon, that freedom, that grace, and today the Spirit of God has withdrawn. I want to give them an opportunity to repent. I want to give them an opportunity to come into alignment. Just in case you know, God gave you a privilege that you did not really understand, you have squandered. You may do well to come and repent. You may do well to cry to Him. To cry to Him. To cry to Him. Talk to Him right now. Ask Him for mercy right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Oh, oh, oh. It's time to cry out to Him. It's time to cry out. It's time to cry out. It's time to call upon His name. To call upon His name and cry out. Ask Him for mercy. There is a great destiny that He has designed for your life. Call upon Him right now. Cry out to Him. Call upon His name. Jesus' name. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you place your hands upon this one. Every one of them back into alignment with your spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let every form of guilt be rolled away from their lives by the blood of Jesus. Minister assurances to their spirit man, so that they can be bold to come into the presence of the Holy Ghost, even by the... Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now you can go back now. So you are part of the next phase. Can you sing this song? We have come to draw. We have come to draw. Now we can draw. We have come to draw.
We have come to draw.
To draw. To draw.
From you again, yeah, yeah, to draw, draw, draw from you again, yeah.
Now let me, amen, hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I didn't hear your amen. Let me tell you a story. I beheld an angel of the Lord standing by the side of the altar, carrying a vessel. This vessel is full of a very pure water. And he dipped his hand inside the water and sprinkled it. Part of the water touched me. I thought it was physical water. That angel will sprinkle that water into the congregation. Now, how many ushers do we have? If you are an usher, let me see your hand up. Ushers. Try again, ushers. Let me see your hand. All right. Okay. Amen. Amen. Don't pray again. He has answered. He has answered. Don't worry. Now, all you need to do is to lift your right hand. That you are in agreement with me. That's all you need to do. Just lift your right hand. Okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, angel that you sent into our midst with a vial of water to sprinkle refreshing into people's spirits, I ask, Lord, that you release the angel into the congregation. Okay, don't say amen again, okay? Don't say amen again. Release the angel into the congregation, and from my left hand side, oh man, to the back, the choir stand, to my right hand side, let this angel begin to sprinkle over the congregation for refreshing to come to the spirits of men. There are 12 intercessors in the congregation. The angel will sprinkle on you now. Father, help me locate the 12 intercessors now. Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost!
Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Boom!
You can help me bring them. Oh my God, I see the fire of God, the fire of God, the fire of God. We see the fire.
Ushers,
ushers, help me, help me, help me. The hand of God. Oh my God. Uramashite manatabe. Ote kaba. Uriyanasuka mahat.
There are 12 of them. 12 of them. Father, in the name of Jesus, anywhere those intercessors that you want to promote, anywhere they are, locate them. 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 Locate them.
The anointing is descending, it's descending, it's descending, it's descending, it's descending, it's descending, it's descending.
Oh, Sasso Mendere Bokoria Basita Matale Boko.
It's descending, it's descending, it's descending, it's descending, it's descending.
It's descending, it's descending, it's descending, it's descending, it's descending, it's descending, it's descending.
Jesus' name. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you are still here, say amen. Can't hear you. I say, if you are still here, say amen. Listen. There are five prophets. Five prophets in the congregation. And the anointing of God will locate those five prophets. It's a baptism. It's a baptism. It's a baptism. It's a baptism. Father, help me locate the prophet. 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 Look at the prophet. Let the hand of God go strong, strong upon them. Let the hand of God come strong.
Listen to me, listen to me. Listen to me. There are two people in the congregation bound by demons. The hand of God will break anywhere you are. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let those ones that are bound by yokes, let those ones, oh God, liberate. Let your hand come upon them. Come upon them. Come upon them. Come upon them. And let the yokes be broken. Break! 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 So say now you have them. Hallelujah. Can't hear your amen. I can't hear your amen. I can't hear your amen. I say I can't hear your amen. Listen. Listen. Oh, you are not listening. God is blessing them. Leave them. Forget about them. You, listen. There is a lady in the congregation. God has chosen you. And He wants me to bless you. Your name is Rosemary. 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 A lady called Rosemary in the congregation. If your name is Rosemary, come. Come forward. Quickly. Rosemary. Rosemary. That's what I hear in the spirit. For a long time, the devil has been attacking you and manipulating your life, but you have a great calling from God. Your name is Rosemary. You suffered so much. But today God wants to elevate you. He wants to elevate you. He wants to put His hand upon you. If you will accept to be His messenger, if you will accept to be His servant, He will put His hand upon you. And I ask, oh God, that you fill this vessel. Fill this vessel. Set her apart. Set her apart. Set her apart. Set her apart. In the name of Jesus. Oh my God. Tomorrow night will be healing night. If you know people that are sick, possessed of devils, insane, mental,
people that have been diagnosed with schizophrenic, people with bipolar conditions. Tomorrow will be the time. Now, do me a favor. Do me a favor. All the ladies, I see some. Do me a favor, okay? All the ladies, take your right hand, put it here. The mothers and sisters. And the sisters in the house, just put your hand here. I'm seeing a vision. And I'll pray a simple prayer. There are many of you that God will use. Many of you. In an unprecedented way. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to ask of you, anoint the lionesses, women of prayer, women that have capacity to wage war in the spirit. Anoint the lionesses. Let your hand descend upon 17 of them from my left hand side to my right hand side. Oh my, he has accepted. Anoint them. Anoint them. Anoint them, anoint them, anoint them. Let grace, let grace, let grace, let grace, let grace descend upon the lionesses. Let grace descend upon them. Let grace descend upon them. It's time. It's time for the manifestation. It's time. It's time. Bring them here to me. Anoint them. To change your rank in the music ministry. Alright? So all of you, stretch your right hand here. Stretch your right hand in my direction. Father, in the name of Jesus, you can stop praying and expect him. In the name of Jesus, I ask for a new anointing on this choir. A new anointing. A new anointing. A new anointing. choose from among them and anoint them. A new anointing, 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 a new anointing to come upon them. Let grace be poured. Let grace be poured into your vessel. Be poured into your vessel. Grace. Grace. Take men into the presence of God. Grace. Grace. Oh, God, let us abhor. Oh, God, let us abhor. Oh, God, let us abhor.
Moment of time. Oh my God. You are going to raise a prayer. A prayer for your family. If there's any yoke of the devil operating in your family, you will bring that yoke down now. There's so much power. There's so much angelic assistance. As you raise your voice, God will go to work. Insist that the yoke of the devil will be destroyed. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Insist. 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 Insist.
Upon the land.
Le la 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 la. I heard a word in my spirit, and it was transport. What I sense in the spirit is that God is moving people. There are locations that where you stop your journey, but God is inserting transport again. I want you to take hold of your neighbor so that you can journey together. We are going to ask God that the movement to be massive tonight. Okemos emprato limana kolea parataza. Eboleto mikete disisa peratina. Baika, lovete koste te proka plazalete. Lente kome, epele kini hatana, parakata utesta balahate. Shate mele kimo tose mida. Morato, Jesus' precious name I pray. Watch this. Watch this. Every time I hear the word transport, listen, listen. Ezekiel chapter 47 comes to me. This weekend, one of the spirit operations that we'll be engaging is transport. Your realities are actually going to be equal to how far you want to go. Can we ask God for grace to explore all that is available this weekend? Let there be a release of grace to explore all that out of His fullness we may receive grace for this.
We lift your name,
we lift
name we have prayed. I believe that tonight God introduced us into that which He seeks to accomplish in us this weekend. Installations have happened tonight. Some have been activated, much more will be activated. I also perceive that there are installations that have been rendered inactive, and God is breathing life to them, because that is also revival. So get set. There's a lot more to come. We kick off tomorrow morning for the morning session by 9 a.m. Don't miss the meeting.